Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, if you've seen the story, it's been reported here. It's at the top of the American Right to Life website. You know about Pepsi that uses PepsiCo, the drink manufacturer, that uses aborted fetal cells in research to come up with new drink flavors. This story has been very well documented. Now, Coca-Cola and Campbell's Soup, they pulled out of a program like this using fetal cells when they were contacted by pro-lifers, but Pepsi has only dug in. Pepsi has dug in. So there's a group in Florida called Children of God for Life, run by Debbie Vintage. And what Debbie has done is she has filed, as a PepsiCo shareholder, she has filed a complaint not only with the company, but with the SEC, as you could learn also at AmericanRightToLife.org and at LifeNews.com. So I'd like to welcome Debbie Vintage. Welcome, Debbie, to Bob Inyart Live.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on the show, Bob.
Well, could you explain? We talked to you months ago when there were just a handful of pro-life organizations that have agreed to join the Pepsi boycott. Now it's 31 groups in America have joined the Pepsi boycott and organizations from seven foreign countries.
That's right. That's right. It's really taken off. People are just simply disgusted, you know, with what's going on. But I need to correct something you said for your listeners. It wasn't actually me who filed the resolution. Actually, we had shareholders come forward that were upset about this.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So that was a wonderful thing. It's one thing when you have pro-life groups that are upset.
Yeah.
But the shareholders are actually taking arms. And so we worked with them to make sure that the paperwork and everything was done the way it needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Actually worked through ProVita Advisors, and they're wonderful at doing these kind of things. And that the paperwork was filed with both PepsiCo and the Security and Exchange Commission.
So this is a shareholder resolution. Could I read just the opening of your press release today?
Sure.
And people could find out about this at lifenews.com, like I said, at AmericanRightToLife.org. And I'm at right now ChristianNewsWire.com. And PepsiCo shareholder resolution filed over use of aborted fetal cell lines. This from Largo, Florida. Children of God for Life announced today the filing of a shareholder resolution with the Securities and Exchange Commission and PepsiCo on the use of aborted fetal cell line HEK-293, that is human embryonic kidney, for the research and development of flavor enhancers for their beverages. So, Deb, can you explain this to us? How is it that they take cells from an aborted baby and use them in research to develop new flavors?
Okay, it's a little bit technical, so I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible for your listeners.
Yeah, and for me.
What it comes down to in a nutshell is that the human tongue has five taste receptors, taste buds, right? We have salty, sweet, bitter, sour, and then something that's called umami, which means savory.
Mm.
Okay. Sonomics, which is the company, they're a company that produces these flavor enhancers. They claim that they have some 800,000 different tastes. Mm. That they basically, they're chemicals that are added to products, and those chemicals stimulate the taste buds to think that it's getting a different flavor. It's getting something unique, something different, something you're going
to
like.
So our taste buds send information to our brain to say whether or not we like this thing.
That's right.
And that is somewhat of a chemical reaction.
That's exactly right.
Of course, our psyche is involved too, our soul, spirit, and our understanding, because when mom makes something, we have a tendency to like it. And so that plays, but it's also very much a biochemical reaction.
That's right. So what Sonomics actually does is they have in their lab set up a cell line. Now, they don't have to use aborted fetal. I want this to be very clear for your listeners, they actually have over 75 patents that are on file with the federal government. And in those patents, they describe the cell lines that could be used. And they listed what's called CHO, that's called Chinese hamster ovary. It's commonly used for research purposes. Mm. They listed insect cells, yeast cells, E. coli cells, all these different cells that are do the same thing as the aborted fetal cells. And what it's going to do is whenever they introduce the flavor or the chemical, it sends a signal back that says, yes, I got it. Yes, this is what we want. Mm. So it's letting them know they achieved the flavor that they were trying to achieve.
So in other words, stem cells could be grown into all kinds of cells. And in fact, they could probably even use adult human stem cells.
Oh, sure.
For this
Absolutely.
Research.
Yeah, right? Yes, the only thing they need is a cell type that has a certain protein. It's called a G protein. It's, you know, not a big deal. It's just a chemical thing. That's all they need. That's all that's required. And those are found in so many different sources that that I just named, plants,
yeah.
animals.
And so when they then take a recipe or some new chemical and they expose these cells that they grow from stem cells, then those cells are going to react in a certain way or not. And
right.
if they act in a way that they deem positive, like if they produce a protein that indicates that maybe these cells like the flavor, so to speak, then they put that recipe on a list of, well, let's test these further. And so in that way, they could test thousands of recipes in an assembly line mechanism where it would be hard to take volunteers and have them drink thousands of different drinks.
Right. That's right. See, you've got it. You've got it, Bob.
All right.
It wasn't that technical. But, the fact remained that, of course, they didn't have to use the aborted fetal. There were so many cells that would work just as well. It's not like we have to have a human cell at all. It just has to have a protein that gives the same signal that they need.
Mm. So what happened then?
Well, so we had, when, you know, we began working on this actually well over a year ago when we first contacted Sonomics to tell them that we noticed, you know, what they were doing and asked them to use moral cell lines instead. And, you know, we told them that if we didn't hear from them or some action wasn't taken, that we would go to the companies that they were contracting with.
Mm-hmm.
Because these companies, these food companies, there were several of them that they had contracted with. They pay up front for the research and development. And after the product is, they've got their flavor enhancer in the product and it goes up to market, then they pay royalties back to Sonomics on every single product that's sold. So we wrote, when they didn't respond to us, Sonomics ignored us completely. We wrote to every one of the companies. And at the time, that was Campbell Soup, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, a company called Soleil, Fermentec, and I think that's it. Pepsi wasn't on that list at the time. I take that back at first. Hmm. So when we originally wrote to them, nobody except Campbell's responded positively. And Campbell's came back and said that they were very concerned about what we had said, and they said that their relationship with consumers was far more important than any bottom line or profit margin.
Wow.
So we were very excited about that, but when we didn't hear back anything further, we went ahead in March and we did a press release. Within 4 hours of that press release coming out, Campbell Soup called us to tell us earlier this month we severed all ties with Sonomics.
Well, praise God for that. And Deb, thank you, because you're like the watchman on the wall. And we in the pro-life movement, even, there are so many battles on so many fronts. And so you guys at Children of God for Life, you guys are on the front lines here of where children, literally, children are killed and then exploited for financial gain.
That's right.
And, of course, that's part of the destruction of the moral foundation of our society. So thank you for standing up for those kids and for the conscience of the nation.
Well, you know, somebody's got to do it. And many times I can tell you, I feel like John the Baptist, right? That voice crying out in the wilderness, because there's nobody else out there right now that's doing this. And it's something that I believe so strongly in my heart, and so do several hundred thousand people that have, you know, joined us over the last 10 years. This is something people have a right to know. We have a right to know what's in the products we're buying.
So Campbell's Soup responded very well.
Yes,
Coca-Cola, then, if I understand, they didn't respond, but they ended their relationship.
They did. And they actually, in our shareholder resolution, we mentioned them to the Security and Exchange Commission and to PepsiCo executives, because they have actually gone to another company that is focusing on, now I'll tell you, the other company actually does immoral research. They actually do aborted fetal research at this company. However, when it came to the flavor receptors, they didn't. Mm. They were using the Chinese hamster ovary. That's what their focus is. And in their documentation, it stated that their focus was on that. So we were pleased with that. Otherwise, we would have had to go after Coke, too.
Right, sure.
But in this case, it was something we looked at very carefully. And with PepsiCo, what's so unique about them as opposed to some of the other food companies that are in contract with Sonomics, PepsiCo, their product is still under development. And they have paid $30 million up front for that research and development.
Wow.
So we are saying to Pepsi, look, you have the ability right now to go back to Sonomics and say, stop it. You're killing us. This is a public relations nightmare for us. Our stock is suffering. Our shareholders are angry. People are boycotting our products. We want the moral cell lines used so that this is no longer an issue.
Deb, a few weeks ago, we were with another Christian family out for a Saturday outing. We're going to go to lunch, and somebody said, why don't we go to Kentucky Fried Chicken? Mm-hmm. And one of the kids said, no, they sell Pepsi.
Oh, God bless him.
And literally, we went somewhere else for lunch. Now, I don't recall if Kentucky Fried Chicken is owned by Pepsi or if they
I think they sold their subsidiary. They had owned several of those food groups, Taco Bell and Kentucky Fried Chicken and some of the others. And I'm pretty sure they've
divested of those assets.
Yes.
But what they do sell is Pepsi and Diet Pepsi.
Sure.
And some of their bigger products that we've mentioned here on the air a few times to remind people to boycott Pepsi is Mountain Dew, Sierra Mist, Gatorade, Propel, Tropicana Orange Juice, bottled Lipton iced teas, and bottled Starbucks Frappuccinos and Aquafina water.
That's
so those
right.
Those are some of the big Pepsi products.
That's right. And we do have a list. It's a great thing. On our website, there's a one-page flyer that people can go in. It's a one-page Pepsi boycott flyer, and it lists the products. So you can actually download it, print it, cut out the little, there's a little square in the center that lists all those products you just named. Mm-hmm. Take it to the grocery store and say, nope, we're not buying this, we're not buying this. And the best thing they can do, too, is to go to that grocery store manager and say, we're not buying these products, and here's why.
Mm.
Give them a copy of that flyer, because they need to know. When sales start slipping, people need to understand, why is this happening? Now, Pepsi is fully aware of why it's happening, because they've received tens of thousands of letters from the public, and they have seen the press releases, they have heard from us, and now, of course, they're aware of the shareholder resolution.
Yeah, and so, the fact that, you know, and I had misread that, and it is so encouraging, I had thought that Children of God for Life filed the resolution,
yeah.
But the fact that PepsiCo shareholders have come to you guys and requested help with this action, that is significant. And there are, you're saying, tens of thousands of people. I have no doubt, because I'm seeing people wanting to boycott Pepsi because they're taking advantage of this aborted child.
That's correct. That's absolutely right. And, it, you know, in our press release today, I told the story of this one boy, actually here in Florida, and it was funny because he was at our 40 Days for Life kickoff when they have the big 40 Days for Life all over the country.
Yeah.
And so they had the kickoff meeting. I wasn't able to attend because I had a different commitment that night. But people that were at our church went, and the next day they were calling me and saying, Debbie, did you hear what happened last night at the meeting? This 12-year-old boy got up to speak. He was a guest speaker, and he had with him a petition in which he was asking people to sign this boycott for Pepsi, and he was taking it to his school and asking them to stop buying all Pepsi products.
Wow.
And then he wanted to take it across the whole state. His goal is to get the entire state of Florida schools to stop it. And I thought, what a wonderful boy. You know,
yeah.
This was just, it touched me so deeply. And I don't even know him. It was so funny because the family actually probably lives here, you know, less than 30 minutes away from here. And I didn't know them, didn't know the mom. But I since then have spoken to them. And I was just so very, very deeply moved by what he did.
Well, you know what? Deb Vintage with Children of God for Life. Here in Colorado, there was a homeschool gal who had graduated, and then she wanted to pass a personhood amendment, and she got some help from a few friends, Colorado Right to Life and others, and sure enough, we had a statewide vote, and then 2 years later, we had another statewide vote, came closer, narrowed the gap, still didn't win, but now on November 8th, Mississippi has a statewide vote to uphold the personhood of the unborn child. And this all happened recently because of one young gal who said we should be protecting children in our state. And now there is a bona fide personhood movement around the country.
That's right. And it's so encouraging to see our youth doing this. You know, this is, it's a huge, huge boost because I guess so many of us in the pro-life movement are feeling a little bit of battle fatigue. You know, we get beat around a lot and we work for years and years at things and sometimes people just get tired of it, it seems. But when you start to see the fruits of those labors when it's reflected in the youth and you know they've been taught right and these are our future leaders. So it's such a breath of fresh air to see something like this coming out of youth.
Yeah, it is great. So could you remind me, I know we talked about this some months ago, this HEK 293, I mean, that's just a number.
Yes.
It's like skull 1470 out of East Rutherford, Kenya, in a museum somewhere. There's a number on it. What does this mean, HEK 293?
Well, HEK stands for human embryonic kidney. It is specimen number 293. There were multiple abortions done involved in this, but this happened to be the 293rd specimen. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean there were 293 abortions. Sometimes when people are working on trying to produce a cell line using a particular organ, well, not just sometimes, always, they actually will name it something that means something to them. In this case, HEK stood for human embryonic kidney, and then they start numbering them. Now, once they have created a successful cell line, then that's going to be the final product. So when you see HEK 293, you know there were 293 attempts. Mm. And of course, you know there's multiple abortions involved in that because you would have to just to for the sake of, you know, where are you going to get 293 specimens? You can have several depending on, for example, let's say there was an abortion done and it was a late-term pregnancy. You would have a larger size kidney to work on than you would if you were working on a baby that was, say, 8 or 10 weeks old. So it really just depends on the development stage. But they would take several samples. Now, those samples are, they try to produce a cell line that can be used for example, maybe it would be for vaccine purposes. And I know we've spoken about that before. We have several childhood vaccines that are produced using aborted fetal cell lines. And in fact, in those cases, the cell line is actually in the vaccine. Children don't realize that, but their children are getting injected with aborted fetal DNA and cell components. What they do is they take the organ and then they will produce the cell line, cultivate it in the lab, and then try their success at using it for whatever purpose that might be. If it fails, they're going to take another specimen and try again. So they have found that there are certain organs in babies that work better than other organs. Lung tissue is a favorite one. Retinal tissue from the eyes is another one, and kidney.
And, of course, we remember the horrific supposed medical experiments done by the Germans during World War II.
That's right.
And when you dehumanize any class of human being, and then you justify that we could do experiments or research with their body parts, we could harvest their parts, you just further erode, again, the conscience of the nation.
That's right. And, you know, what you brought up with the Holocaust, back in 1947, there was a document, several documents that were written, including the Nuremberg Code and the Helsinki, the Declaration of Helsinki, United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. And according to that, you do not have the right to do research on any member of a human species who cannot give you informed consent. Mm. And the research has to be of benefit to the person. Mm. So, and it was really very interesting. You know, we don't get many victories in our pro-life movement these days, but back in September, Congress actually passed a bill that bans the patenting of human organisms, including fetuses or embryos. And it was signed into law by President Obama on September 16th. Mm-hmm. Now, what that would do is it would prevent someone from doing this in the future. You know, so you couldn't.
Well, and this is that's an important issue because, for example, our DNA, our genes, there are biotech companies that have patented thousands of genes. I mean, literally our DNA.
That's correct.
And there was something out of control and perverse about all of that. And going back to this fundamental human right that no scientist, no industry has the right to do research on you with your body without your consent. And surely these children who were killed could not give their consent for their bodies to be harvested, parts to be harvested, and then research conducted on them for
That's
the profit
right.
of Pepsi shareholders.
That's right. And, you know, we've heard from people who have said, well, the baby didn't, but the mother gave, you know, her consent. And so that makes it's no different than an organ donation. But it is very different than an organ donation because normally the mother isn't the one who brought about the death of the child. So when the mother has actually been brought about the death of that child, she has no rights. She has lost all rights. She has done nothing that was good for that child. Mm. And obviously it isn't of any benefit.
Well, and how about this? This HEK 293, I mean, there's a 50% chance that that's a boy. And that DNA had a Y chromosome in it. And that Y chromosome cannot possibly be part of the mother's body. It is her son's body.
That's correct.
So it's not true to say this is the mother's body. If they wanted to develop a line of stem cells from the mother's body, they could do that.
That's right. That's right. Let's just have her cells instead.
Right.
You don't need to take it from this poor innocent child.
Right. So when you received that first response from Coca-Cola that was gracious,
Campbell's.
I'm sorry. Let me say that again for the benefit of the archives. When you received that first response from Campbell's that was gracious, then you go to Pepsi, and their own code of conduct says that they deal in an ethical and appropriate manner with the public and their suppliers and all. And so, of course, this violates that. But they also responded to you in writing, but it wasn't gracious like Campbell Soup.
That's correct. In fact, they've responded in several different ways to not just me, but to also to the public. One of the first thing that they said to us was that they hoped that we would be reassured that they were only using their relationship with Sonomics was only to produce great tasting, lower calorie beverages. Now, that absolutely just, you know, blows moral sensibilities right out the window. They completely ignored what our issue was. No, we don't think that it's okay for you to create lower calorie beverages using aborted children.
Right. Not only that, the more low-cal Pepsi, Diet Pepsi I've drunk in my life, the fatter I got. Somehow
yeah,
the Diet Pepsi doesn't work.
That's right. That was the first one. Then the next thing they came back with was that this is the gold standard for the industry, for the research, and it's being done by all these different companies. Well, I got a gold standard, too. We don't exploit the remains of aborted babies. I just don't get that. So, you know, they were, I guess, really trying to just sanitize what they were doing with the public and make it sound like, well, you know, this is just a normal thing that goes on. Well, we do know that there's a lot of companies out there doing aborted fetal research, tons of them. University of Washington, just to give you an example, Bob, a year ago they had reported in Seattle that they fulfilled over 4,400 requests for aborted fetuses that they were giving, you know, people were calling them to try to get the babies. So they're bringing them in and into their labs and they're doing this. It's disgusting.
Well,
and that's just one university.
And we're speaking with Deb Vintage of Children of God for Life. And Deb, here in Colorado, some of the members of Colorado Right to Life have testified at the state capitol in the legislature. For example, the local Planned Parenthood sells the aborted babies' bodies to a harvester, and that harvester makes them available to University Hospital in Colorado on Colorado Boulevard and to many, many customers. And they actually have a price list, and that price list was introduced in the testimony at the Capitol. I remember Ken Scott and Joe Scott testifying, and they say, here's how much it costs, whether it's $380 for a liver, and this much for a heart, and this much for the brains, and this much for the whole body.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, this is something that's it is completely against federal regulations. I can tell you this. Back in 1993, one of the first things that President Clinton did after taking office was he approved federal funding for aborted fetal research. Now, under that law, there's a number of things you can and cannot do, and one of them is you are not to profit from that. So you could charge reasonable, quote-unquote, storage fees and transportation costs, but you were not allowed to, buy and sell.
Planned Parenthood gets around that because they claim to be a nonprofit organization that takes in hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And so no matter how much they charge the harvester per fetus, it's all not for profit. So it's easy for them to get around that.
Absolutely. And, you know, they also, in that same law, President Clinton's law, was that you were not allowed to change the timing or the method of abortion. We know that's been violated many, many, many times. If you're going to do an abortion in which the baby is going to be used for research, number one, the woman has to give her consent prior to the abortion. Now, there's a twofold reason for that. Number one, that within the first 5 minutes of the death of the baby, the cells begin to deteriorate. Mm. Within an hour, they're useless.
Right.
You have to have someone present to immediately collect
the harvester. And the harvester's there at Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic. You know, you mentioned Clinton. We're about out of time. 1 minute left. But Clinton, he was the second president to fund fetal tissue research and embryonic stem cell research because, tragically, George W. Bush was the first.
Yes. President Clinton
increased the funding.
President Bush, opened the door for embryonic.
He was the first, and a lot of pro-lifers say, he never did anything to stop fetal embryonic stem cell research. He did nothing. He did fund it only somewhat. So then Clinton just followed in his footsteps and increased the funding.
But George H., you're talking about. I'm talking about George W.
Yeah, I'm talking about George W.
Yeah.
Do I got him out of order? Hey, we're out of time, Deb. Thank you. May God bless you. Appreciate Deb Vintage and Children of God for Life in Florida and our website, kgov.com.